find my button. Y'all ever have trouble finding your button?
Can you hear me now? There you go. I found my button. Well, happy Independence Day. Independence, right? We were once dependent, and now we're independent. But in salvation, we were once independent, and now we're dependent. Or we should be. We should know who is sovereign, right? We should know who is Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right? We should know who is Lord over all. We had that song here that we sang to celebrate Star Spangled Banner. And sometimes we sing that last verse, but not all the time. But it gives God glory. I want to read that to you. And so it says, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand." And that's what we did in 250 years ago. Free men stood. Between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Did y'all hear that? Praise the power. You know who he's talking about? That hath made and preserved us this nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this is our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. We need to remember that, don't we? That not just that first verse that we always know, and then they say, "Play ball." But we need to remember that other one that brings everything into what our thinking ought to be. That we have this nation because He will be glorified. He is sovereign. And that's my sermon today. It is about the sovereign God. And is God sovereign in your life? You know, only you can say, I can't tell you, if God is sovereign in your life. Now, that word we don't ever talk about very much. We don't think about sovereign, do we? Let me read this to you about God's sovereignty. He is paramount and supreme. He is preeminent in power and authority. While God controls everything that happens, He may allow things and yet not approve of them, such as divorce, catastrophes, slaveries, and etc. And He controls the saving of souls. The fact that God is sovereign essentially means that He has the power, wisdom, and authority to do anything He chooses within His creation. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Isn't it good to know that there's somebody in control other than you? I don't know how y'all been doing this past week, but I've had a few things happen this past week that I didn't like. But anyway, it all came out in the wash, as they say, right? God is in control, and we're going to give Him glory each and every day. So I hope that's what you do. What we're going to be doing, though, is we're going to look at an Old Testament passage in the end. We're going to look at the story of Eli and how he was a priest. We're not going to get there just yet. I don't want you to get ahead of me. But we're going to work our way there to see how a sovereign God works out things the way He wants them to do. No matter how good or how bad it may end up for some, it's going to be for His will. Y'all remember the story about the lame young man that Jesus healed one time. But before He healed him, and all the Pharisees, all the holy people were sitting there looking at this guy that couldn't walk, and they said, well, you know, because in that day, if you were lame or you had leprosy or something, everybody thought, well, he must be a sinner, or his parents must sin, and he caused him to be this way. And so that's what they asked him. They said, Lord, who sinned, the man or his parents? And then Jesus said, neither his parents or he sinned, but it is that he is afflicted with this so that God may be glorified. And then he said, get up and walk. And God was glorified in that man's affliction. And he was also glorified in the way that Jesus healed him and drew their attention to who is sovereign over all things. So let me ask you this question. Knowing what sovereignty is God sovereign in your life? Folks, we can only answer the question for ourselves. One can't answer for another. Now, we can judge fruit. We can certainly see somebody's fruit and say, I don't know if they're a Christian, right? And we should. Because if they're a brother in Christ, we should say, hey, let me help you out here, brother. I need to make sure that you're on the right path. You need to be walking a different walk than what you're walking right now, right? So I talked about that the last time I was here about examine yourself was my sermon last time, you know. And Paul told us to take that log out of your eye so that you can help your brother who's got the splinter in his eye. There's a purpose for you examining yourself, just as there's a purpose for you looking at your brother to help them when they're in a bad way in their walk. They're not walking right. So is God sovereign in your life? Can you say with confidence, I listen to God and obey? Can you say with confidence that you listen to God? Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 28. This is Jesus speaking here. And he talks about who hears him. And he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's the good news, folks. God is sovereign in your faith, but you have opportunity and a responsibility, don't you, to examine yourself and also to remember that who we're to be listening to, our sovereign God. Every day is a day that God speaks. There's not one day that God does not speak. You know, people say, I heard God tell me, or God told me, you know. And I'm going to tell you now, God has spoken in His Word. And I'm going to just say, this may offend some people, I don't know. I'm not here to do that, but I'm going to bring it to your attention because this day and this time, people are speaking these things and they're not true, they're not doctrinal, they're not biblical. God has spoken, and you know how He spoke? Do you know how He spoke? He spoke clearly. Plainly. And he spoke all he needed to speak. He said everything he needed to say, and ever since then there's not been another a Bible like that. Now others have been written, but they were not sovereign and they were not true. You'll know the truth, right? And the truth will set you free. But what we have to do is make sure that we know when God speaks. God, I believe God is going to speak one time to you. The first time you hear Him, it's going to be in heaven. He's going to say one of two things. Welcome, my good and faithful servant. Or He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. Then you're going to hear Him. He's going to speak audibly then. But until then, folks, you want to hear God speak? This is the way to hear Him speak. You have to read your Bible. You have to fellowship and make God preeminent in your life, don't you? If He's not important to you now, He's certainly not going to be important to you then. Make Him important as He should be. It's our duty as Christians to glorify Him. Our only duty is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to get to the main point here in just a little bit. But Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And we're going to see that God and Jesus one and the same, have a plan for us to know Him, and He also has a plan for others that will not know Him. It's His choice. It's His sovereign choice. And that's going to hurt people's feelings because people think, well, God came to save, Jesus came to save everybody. Well, He did. But what? Not everybody would accept Him. And it's not for us to say who will and who will not accept Jesus. It's for us to tell everybody we meet about Jesus. That was Jesus' last command before He left earth. You go. Or, as you go, tell the good news. Do you know the good news? He is risen. He is risen. That's the good news. We only remember that in around Easter time, but as everyday folks, we ought to remember He is risen. And the only reason you rise in the morning is because He is risen. By His grace, He gets you up again, right? So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, chapter 13, verses 10 through 16, and pay attention to what Jesus is saying here. 10 through 16. The disciples came to Him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. And he alludes here to Isaiah. So listen to this. He said, though seeing, they do not see. And though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Jesus has never wasted His message on those who did not want to hear. He never did waste His message. He only gave His message to those who would hear and who would understand and who wanted to and who desired Him. If right now, if you're far away from Jesus Christ, it's because you have chosen that path. You have chosen to be away. But you know what? I always remember this. I was away for a time because I was a prodigal son. You know about the story in the Bible of the prodigal son who said to his father, give me all that's coming to me. I wish you were dead. That's what that passage means. When the younger son came to the father and said, give me all the money. I'm ready to go party. And that's what he did, wasn't it? The Bible tells us about it. It gives us the complete story, as many of us may have done. But then at that very time, still at the same time, we read in the Bible, where every day that father went out onto the porch and he was looking down the road for me. That father was God in the parable. That father is God now for those who are far away, in a far off land. So the son who went away, he finally, the Bible said, he came to his senses. Well, what got him to come to his senses? It was hardship. Hardship came to his senses. Well, in reality, what was happening there, God brought it on him. God brought it on his own son, right? So that he would repent. And he did when he was sitting there wallowing with the pigs, eating pig pods. And he said, I've got a plan. I'm going to repent. He knew how to do it. We all know how to do it. God's put it in our hearts. That verse that we read before, where Jesus said, the ones that are in God's hand, they can't be snatched out. That's assurance of faith. No matter how bad you think you are, you can't never get bad enough to be saved. Did you know that? And no matter how bad you've done, what places you've gone, it doesn't matter. You can still come home. That's the truth of the matter. But we have to trust and we have to desire. We have to come to our senses. like the prodigal son did. But Jesus gave the message to all men. Jesus gave the message to all men as a sovereign God. He said, I can save you if you want to. I will. But not everybody wants to be saved. Jesus' blood is sufficient to save all. Sufficient. And it's efficient enough to keep us. In Isaiah 6, chapter 9, we see where this very verse was written long ago, prophesied before Jesus ever spoke it. Chapter 6 and verse 9 says this. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, I've got the wrong verse there. Chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, go tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving, make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Jesus said here, he sent Isaiah to the people, his own people, and said, look, I know their hearts are already hard, and I've made them that way. But I can make them another way if I want to. They have to be ready. They have to be contrite. They have to be repentant. They have to see their sins for what their sins are. And what are sins? They're rebellion against God. That's what sins are. We said, no, I don't want it to do your way, God. That's what sin is. I know you told me I could eat everything in the garden I want to eat. You told me I could do that, and I'm sure enjoying it. But I want that over there that you told me not to eat. See, that's sin. That's rebellion. That's going against what we've been told not to do. The commands are not to hurt us. It's to help us not hurt ourselves. That's what commands are for. Did you know that? We forget all the time what the Ten Commandments are for. They're to show us how sinful we really are. Well, we don't want to look at the Ten Commandments because they're too convicting. They tell us how sinful we are. That's what Paul said about the Ten Commandments, right? He said, those things, those Ten Commandments, that thing that I don't want to do, sin, I keep on doing it. Paul, the apostle, he said, so we know that we also sin. He said, that thing I don't want to do, I keep on doing it. Lord, help me. Woe is me, but Jesus. And that's our claim to salvation today. No matter how bad we are, but Jesus. God does not speak audibly, as many people claim. God told me, I heard God say. However, God has spoken His word to all mankind and then by His Spirit to His chosen people. The Spirit speaks to us. If you ever hear God speak, guess what? It is speaking internally to you by His Spirit, which indwells in you, right? He's sovereign in such that Jesus said, I will go away, but the paraclete is going to come. The comforter will come, but he can't come until I leave. And when he does, he will indwell with you forever. So, do you have the Spirit? Do you believe you know you have the Spirit in you? You know, we got to trust God for His Word. You know, as babies, we grow up, and when we're young, and we always ask the question, why? You know, why? Everything, you ever notice, 3 to 4 years old, 5 maybe, you know, they always, do you ever notice that? Why? 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 And you know, we're like that too when we grow up. And we become adults, and we think we know more than we do. You know that? I don't know anybody else like that but me. But you know what the Bible says about that? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's a good word right there. In other words, don't put yourself above God. Don't think you know what God's plan is for you and go ahead and go ahead of Him. We need to pray about what God would have us to do. We need to be in God's will. We need to ask in God's will so that we don't get hurt. As adults, though, when we ask or when we ask the word why, and we question God. We ask Him in a condescending way, an accusatory way. Did you notice that? Why, God, did you make this happen? I heard of a gentleman that's a good Christian man this weekend fell through a roof at his home and hurt himself real bad. He's in the hospital. And, you know, people could say, and his family or whoever could say, why, God, did you allow him to fall through that roof? He's a good Christian man. Well, the Bible tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. We don't understand that. But God is sovereign. He is in control, and that's what I thought about that man. You know, we're still praying for him. I don't know him personally, but I saw the post about it. I thought how terrible that would be, because I think about things that I do. You may do things. It may just happen like that. Yet yesterday I was taking fence down at the house, you know, and it was hot, and it's a barbed wire fence too, and so I'm taking this fence down, and you're taking these little wire ties off, or the little wire cable things that keep the barbed wire on the T-post. And I had a handful of them, and then I went to wipe sweat like this. And look, I almost got my eye. I thought, ooh, that could have been bad, right? And if it did happen, it wouldn't just happen. It wouldn't be because God ordained it. It was just because something stupid I did. But He allowed it to happen. He allowed stupidity for some people. So we need to remember that. Even though God is sovereign, He allows things to happen for like this. But it's going to be for His glory. Always remember, God is sovereign. Let's give Him His due. So even though as adults we try to ask God, but we have to remember to do it in the correct manner. He doesn't have to explain Himself to us. I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 23 here. Numbers 23 and verse 19, verse 20, chapter 23, verse 19. And it said, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and then not fulfill? You know, that just reminds us how God is. God doesn't lie. And He's always truthful in what He tells us. Even though He's sovereign, He's not promising anything that we deserve. But He wants us to recognize who He is. We need to prepare our hearts to hear God speak. We need to come before Him with fear and trembling. You know, it's a fear of God that the Bible tells us is the beginning of wisdom. So many times I thought I was smart throughout my life. But I wasn't fearing God because I wasn't seeking His face. I wasn't asking His will and what it would be for me to do this or do that, to go here or to go there. And then I messed up. But then I got knowledge from it. I got wisdom from it when I failed at those things. He allows us to do things, not to hurt us, but to help us. And we should always remember it. He gives us a good example of how He allows people to do things they ought not to do in 1 Samuel. And that's where our scripture is going to be. Our scripture lesson is from. And I know I've got another hour and a half. Is that right? I'm glad y'all are still awake. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And y'all remember, Samuel was set apart by his mother. He was born to Hannah, who could not have children. You remember that? And she said, Lord, if You just give me a child, I'll dedicate him to You. And the Lord did. And she did what she told him she would do. She dedicated him to the Lord. Then he became Eli's student, so to speak. And he worked in the temple with Eli, the priest. And at the same time that he was doing that, he was learning about God. He was being prepared for what God would have Samuel do. And, of course, at the time he didn't know it, and neither did Eli. But Eli was given a warning because his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were subject to Eli as his helpers. And yet they were doing the wrong thing. Y'all remember? He said they would come to people and ask for their sacrifices, the meat they had. He said, "Look, give me the good meat. I don't want just what you got left over." And they were also having sex with women in the other temples, not God's temple. And they were doing all kinds of things wrong. Yet here's the thing. Eli was not taking care of his own family. Eli knew it because he heard it from the people. And they said, "Look, your sons are doing all this. What are you going to do, priest?" And he didn't do anything. And then we have Eli growing up. And we're going to read this part here. When God came to Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli in those days. And so in those days, you see, the word of the Lord would come to people. And there would be visions and things like that. They would come to people. God would do that. But not in these days. So in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Folks, that is our answer for the Lord when He speaks to us. When you have an inclination that there's something you're supposed to do, and you should say, and your response should be, "Speak, Lord, I'm hearing you." But the only reason we could hear God when He does speak in those ways is if we have made Him sovereign as He should be, if we know how we've already related to Him every day as we're going to Him in the morning, in the evening, or whatever time throughout the day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, that's hard to do. Why is it hard to do? Is God not preeminent in your life? Is He not giving you the next breath you have? Is He not giving you the next step you have? Did the Lord not keep me from poking my eye out with a piece of metal yesterday? You know, did He keep that barbed wire off of me as I was stringing it out through there? Did He keep the wasp off of me? Yeah, He did all that. And I was glorifying Him the whole time. And I said, "Boy, it's hot, but Lord, if I wasn't doing this, nobody else would." So He gave me the opportunity to praise Him. In everything. We should praise Him in everything. We should be aware and awake in everything that we do, that God is speaking to us at all times. Well, I got an opportunity here the other day where I was on a prayer team at the Freedom Fest in Olive Branch. And so this friend at church just said, "Hey, they got this opportunity for when they have the concert on the 3rd of July. Freedom Fest, Ann Wilson." I don't know if y'all know who Ann Wilson is, a Christian singer. She was coming and four other people. But look, I said, "You know what, Lord?" I said, that's something I can do. You know, I know how hot it is. I said, but that's something I can do is go pray with people who are hurting. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to talk to God? You know He talks to you. That's how God talks to you, right? But are you opening His Word and looking for Him? Not just a bullet throw, right? Not just, oh, here's a good... No. Are you praying about, Lord, show me where I need to be? Read a chapter. Read a book. Are you doing that? Are you desiring and making God sovereign? I mean, there's plenty of things to read. Just start on your phone, right? Y'all got that? You know what that is? Man, talk about an evil thing. Now, a phone is a good tool, just like a barbed wire fence is a good tool to keep cows back where I want them. But this is not. Doing this with that tool is not a good thing. Now calling somebody and say, hey, man, can you come over here and help me with this barbed wire fence? Now, that's a good thing. But they don't come. So you got to do it by yourself. But we have the opportunity. The Bible. I have you Bible on my phone. And I can be talking to somebody and witnessing to somebody and say, hey, look, I know what you're talking about. Look, let's look at this verse right here. Bring it up. Folks, we have more tools available to us in this day and time than anybody before us ever has. And we're going to be held responsible more than anybody before us. Did you know that? I hope you're awake. We're going to be held responsible for what we didn't do. Did you know there's sins of commission? In other words, you committed a sin. And there's sins of omission. Things that you did not do that you could have done. You could have prayed for your church. You could have prayed for each other. You could have prayed for your country. But you didn't. How come? The Bible tells us to pray for ourselves. Are you praying for yourself? David prayed for himself. He wrote a bunch of Psalms about it. You want to read them? See how to pray for yourself. Look at the Psalms. And after you pray for yourself, pray for others. But the only way and the only reason that you'll do it is if God is sovereign in your life. If God is over everything, and in your mind, you know it. Folks, we got people out here walking around ain't got a clue about heaven and hell. They're just worried about the next thing that's going to happen, the next thing that's going to make them happy. Happiness is only through what? Happenstance. What happens? Joy is eternal. Difference. There's a difference in happiness and in joy. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And then the Lord called Samuel in preparation for service. He called Samuel. He had already been in that temple all that time, training under Eli. And do you think Samuel saw Hophni and Phinehas doing the things they did? And yet, Samuel never said to Eli, hey, you ought to take care of your boys. No, that was not his place. He was learning from Eli how to be a priest. And he knew that God had already told Samuel, or told Eli, I'm going to deal with this one day. And the Bible tells he did deal with it because they all died. You remember that? You're just a little bit past. We're not going to read that. They all died. And no more of Eli's family was a priest anymore, as he had promised before. God changed that. Can God change his mind? No, it was already in place. He already knew what he was going to do. But he gave Eli an assignment, and Eli failed in his assignment. You've been given an assignment as you go. As you go, tell somebody what you know. What do you know? Eli knew what he knew, especially when God came and said, Samuel knew what he knew, especially when God said, Samuel, Samuel. And he came and stood before him. He said, here I am, Lord. Do what you will do with me. But the only way that he was able to do what he wanted, what he would do with Samuel is because Samuel was submissive. Are you submissive to the Lord? You've been prepared for service. Samuel did not yet know the Lord as a personal and intimate knowledge, but because the Bible tells us he has not yet been revealed. He had been doing service first to Eli, and now he was going to do service to God. You may have been serving yourself for a long time, good or bad, and maybe now you're being called to serve God. It's going to be good if you'll serve God. And you don't have to go out into the mission field to do service. The greatest service people that I know of are people who pray for certain things. You know, Adrian Rogers, if you know who Adrian Rogers is, he said that he had this little lady pray for him one day. I may have told y'all about that. He visited a city in Florida, and they had a revival. And he said this friend of his was a big strapping football player, and they had a good time at the revival, and they went to visit this fellow's mom, and they went to her house, and it was a little small house, and it was, Adrian Rogers said it was threadbare. Some of y'all know what threadbare is. He said, but it was clean, and he said this poor lady looked all gnarled up. She had, her joints were all swollen, and her knees were swollen, and she said, how was the revival? And he said, oh, Miss So-and-so said, it was a great revival. I said, God was working. And she said, I knew it was. She said, the whole time you were preaching, I was on my knees praying for you. And he thought, oh my, what an unmitigated fool I am, Raiden Rogers said. I thought I was doing some good preaching the word at a revival. And here's this little lady who could barely move, was bent down on her arthritic knees on the floor. Don't know how long it took her to get up. Said, but she was praying for me. Now there's a warrior. What can you do? God will lead you if you're making Him sovereign in your life. When God speaks to us, He recruits us for service. Our duty is to answer Him in submission. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. A prepared heart knows that God is sovereign. Folks, you got to prepare your heart. You prepare it by seeking God in His Word. You prepare your heart by asking God in prayer for guidance. You prepare your heart by proclaiming God's being to ourselves. You have to know in your heart that God is God. Okay? Make sure you know it. And you also proclaim God's being to others. You have to proclaim God, if you know Him, to tell somebody else. Is it not exciting that God Himself, Jesus, came to this earth and died for our sins and now is risen? Is it not exciting? Man, we ought to be excited. We ought to be able to tell somebody everywhere we go, He is risen. And your answer is, He is risen indeed. I'm going to say it again, and y'all say, He is risen indeed, okay? He is risen indeed. Ain't no doubt about it. And that word indeed in that phrase is for sure it's happened, and I believe it. It's historical. Many saw it happen. They saw the risen Savior after it happened. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that, and here's why you are all those things. Here's why you are all those things we just read. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you know you've received mercy? If you've received mercy, you ought to be able to tell somebody about how mercy gets there through Jesus Christ. You now have His light, which is the knowledge of Him, and you now have a saving mercy. Is God your sovereign Savior? We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in just a minute, but we're to do something before we do that, and that is to make sure that we are right in our availability and ability to take the Lord's Supper. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is the Lord's table. I always told this at my church. No different. Anywhere you go. This is the Lord's table. It's not West Acres' table. All who are saved are to partake of this because we do this in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross, right? That's why we do it, until He comes. And that's what we're looking to see. And so if we're still here, if I'm still here when Jesus comes back, I'm going to keep doing this until He comes. I may not be here when He comes back, and I'll be okay. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever drinks, eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves," this is where you come in, individually, you judge yourselves before you take this cup and before you take this bread, "we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not come under condemnation with the world." So right now, we're going to pray before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And if there's anything you need to confess before you take it, if you're saved and if you're repentant, this is what you do. If you're not saved, I ask that you don't take of the elements. But you may need to be explained to by somebody what that means, right? So that's what it's for. And we're going to pray about that now. If you need to confess your sins, now's the time. So let's pray. Father God, we just give You all honor. Father, we give You all glory because You're worthy of our praise. And Father, it's our duty to praise You. Father, it's our duty to worship You in spirit and in also in the truth of the Word that comes to us. And Father, just right now, each of us, we examine ourselves. Father, we lift up our sins that we know of and that You are aware of. And we ask You because You are faithful and You will forgive us when we are able to ask for that forgiveness, Father. But cleanse our hearts so that we're able to partake of this bread and this cup, and that we remember what Jesus did for us and on that cross, and then He rose from the grave, and He sits at Your right hand right now, waiting for the day to come, where we will judge the quick and the dead. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as I understand it, y'all just filed down. Is that right? Come around? Okay. So, if y'all would come down, we're going to do... we're going to do the bread first, And so I don't know how we do. We just come down and get the bread, and we'll stand and wait and take each of us. We'll take it all at one time. Is that okay? We'll all take it at one time? Okay. Come on down. Then he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'll just come down here and give to you. This is the Lord's blood for you. It's the Lord's blood for you. Lord's blood for you. It's the Lord's blood for you. The Lord's blood for you. The Lord's blood for you. I'm right here behind you. This is the Lord's blood for you. The Lord's blood for you. The Lord's blood for you. And the Lord's blood for you. They do. It's the Lord's blood for you. And the Lord's blood for you. It's the Lord's blood for you. The Lord's blood for you. And the Lord's blood for you. Did you get one? So he said, "This is my blood in the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me."